Bendiciones, mi gente. It is a great day today. ¿Sabes por qué? Because we have Bianca Gracia with us here today. The Perez sisters met her at AmFest Turning Point USA in Arizona, Phoenix, December 2022. And we just fell in love. Let me tell you un poquito de esta reina. Bianca Gracia is the president of the Latinos for Trump organization, founder and executive director of Latinos for America, First PAC, and chief strategist at the America Project, focusing on political outreach in the Hispanic communities. Bianca is known as La Conservadora Tejana, or the Texan Conservative, a well-known South Texas radio show host and leader in the Latino conservative movement. And maybe it's too soon for us to declare this, pero we adopted her. The Perez sisters adopted Bianca. Welcome to the show. ¿Cómo está, reina?
Hola, hola. ¿Cómo están mis hermanas allá? Oye, me adoptaron, yo las adopté a ustedes también. Ahí está lo mismo, somos ya familia. Ya cuando las conocí ahí en AmFest, dije, son mi familia. ¿De dónde salieron estas mujeres? Yo dije, oh my gosh, la energía que tienen tú y tu hermana. Y poderosas y just, your warriors. Son allá están, you know, peleando la pelea, ¿verdad? Es todo, yo todo el tiempo digo que during the Trump movement, it was birthed. The Latino movement was birthed out of the Trump movement porque nosotros nos gusta la pelea, ¿no? MMA fighters, boxing, you name it, nos gusta la pelea. And so we saw him as the luchador. Es un luchador. That's what our people are. We're fighters. We're fighters for everything we do. We're fighters for our children. We're fighters for our business. We're fighters for, you know, for God. We're fighters. Everything that you know, put us in, you're never gonna put us in a corner. We'll fight back. You know, and so I always said we're luchadores. We're literally the freedom fighters. We are the luchadores for libertad. And so it's an honor to be here with you today on your cafecito break.
Bueno, so much has happened since we saw each other just last month.
Yes.
Kevin McCarthy is now the Speaker of the House.
Yeah, I know.
Y este... Just watching, you know, yo estaba pensando en ti. I was thinking about you because of that, like going round after round, and we went 15 rounds with him.
Yeah.
Y eran los guerreros, right? Warriors that kept holding out. What were your thoughts about that?
You know, I laughed. It was entertainment for me because, you know, él se creía muy grande. El día que creía que tenía la posición, ahí andaba como, esta es mía. Y cuando esos guerreros pelearon para atrás, because, mira, la gente acá, the people out here didn't want him. I don't care who says what. But the elected officials made pacts with him. They gave, if he went and got him money and gave him money to win their election or re-election or whatever, they had to tell, in return, give him their vote, you know, for Speaker of the House. So he bought out all his votes. He bought them all out. But it's not what the people wanted. So I was laughing at the whole process. And I was like, man, they kept going. And I thought, I didn't think they were going to go 15. I thought they were going to give it up in 3 or 4 or whatever. But it kept going. And I said, mira estos, una lucha, ¿verdad? Les dieron la lucha. And I think about the 7th and the 8th round, because he was first real cocky, like, I'm not giving up. I'm not giving up. And so by the 7th or 8th, they wore him down. They wore him down. By the 10th and 11th, they really wore him down. And they got him to, you know, they got him to do things that they wanted, the people were asking for. People were asking for accountability and all kinds of things. And so they got him to, you know, make those deals. It wasn't easy for him, and they didn't make it easy for him. And that's democracy. And so it was great to see it play out. I think at the end, when he finally did win, when he gave a speech, I saw more of a humble man. I think they broke him down to where he had to humble himself and say, it wasn't easy, but you know what? I'm going to make these promises to y'all that I'm going to, you know, I'm going to keep these promises. I'm going to work hard, you know, whatever. And they made him work for it.
They
I
did. I
still
found
have.
it,
No,
well,
go
I
ahead.
found it really fascinating because they were calling them the terrorists, the
Oh,
ones that were
yeah.
holding them down, or they're dividing the party. And you know, that rhetoric is so familiar when anyone is ever trying to say,
Oh, yeah.
hey, you know, all you were, I'm part of this in-group, I've been supporting you, but you guys are going the wrong direction, and everybody's quietly going that direction. Because one of the things that we kept hearing, when some of the first, you know, the group kept getting whittled down, but I think it was the first 20, it was like 20 of them that was holding it, that other people were telling them quietly, we're with you, but we're not voting, like, estamos contigo, pero we're not gonna vote against him, right?
Right.
And to me, it tells me two things, that there's a lot more people than we realize in every place who they wish they had the courage to speak up for reasons that we may not understand, reasons that to me implicate that some people are extremely compromised. And now we saw this fight. I appreciated what Kevin McCarthy said, que he was like, when he spoke up and he addressed both branches, both, you know, both Democrats and Republicans, that he was saying, this, you know, I want you to know, que yo no me voy a rendir, you know, I'm a fighter. Like, I kept going, right? And this is part of what I'm gonna do here. And I'm gonna promise you that we're probably gonna argue passionately. I'm paraphrasing a little bit, right? But
Yes.
that
Yeah. No,
this
no, yeah.
is what we do here in the people's house, and that it's
Good.
going to be open. And I have forgotten that it has sort of been off limits since
It has.
January 6th.
Yes, they closed it down. They wouldn't let people come in. And it is, you know, it's been always known as the people's house, is the people's house, the government. You know, and we're supposed to always be able to go visit our congressmen and our senators. We're supposed to be able to go watch the process. You know, that it's one of the number one places where tourism, you know, goes. I mean, there's people that come in from all over the world to go and see the Capitol and to walk through the Capitol and to, you know, witness those things, because it should be an open and transparent government. So yeah, you're right. Listen, I mean, I kind of left and I was like, I don't know if I feel any confidence in any of this, to be honest, but it was worth that they stuck it out. And I did. I'm with you. Listen, I was watching all those Republicans, right? Oh, this is so embarrassing. Oh, this is so, oh, and I'm like, I wanted to say, shut up, like slap them around and say, shut up and sit down in the corner and watch democracy at work, because this is what democracy is about. You have to hear both sides. You shouldn't all just see the Democrats. They just, you see how they, no matter what, they don't break ranks. They all stick together. They can murder somebody and still stick together and be like, no, they didn't murder them. Even though they know that it's true or not true. Republicans, though, they are capable of having the debates. They're capable of, you know, being fractured and being, you know, they're whatever they think, they gravitate to those thinking, you know, their ideologies. So they're known for that. But when you see it all work together, it's part of democracy. It wasn't that somebody was trying to be a terrorist and hold out. They were just saying, hey, it's about time that we bring, you know, back our government to the people, and that we hold elected officials accountable, and that we oversee a lot of things that need to be overseen. We can't just return back to Washington, D.C. and be business as usual. No podemos seguir así, nada, porque no estamos ganando. No estamos ganando, mira, no, aunque les importe o no, no ganan por los demócratas y no ganan por los republicanos y no ganan por la gente. You have to do the, you have to follow a process, and there is a democracy, and you can't shame somebody because they're sticking up for what they believe in. So it's like the left, you know, if they really believe what they believe, you can't shame them. You can debate them. You can counter them, but to shame them is a different thing, because they really believe that. That's what they believe. It's just like we believe what we believe, and they shame us for it. But we have to get back to a civilized conversation when people can agree to disagree and say, I'm never going to agree with your viewpoint. I'll respect it, but I'm never going to agree with it. I'm not going to advocate for it. But I expect you to do the same for me. Give me the same respect that you don't agree with me, and you're never going to agree with me, but give me the respect, and don't shame me, you know, just go your separate ways. And we know that on this issue, we will never agree, period. So I'm always going to push back. You're going to push back, and that's okay. But make it a healthy pushback. You don't have to be, you know, horrible and ugly about it. You need to return to some kind of civilized conversations. And the thing is, nobody believes in that anymore. So that's why we don't have any solutions. We have nothing but problems in this whole country. Pura problema. Problema por donde sea. Ahorita mira los memes de los huevos, que los huevos están demasiado caros. ¿Quién puede comprar los huevos? Yo digo, I mean, let's have a civilized conversation entre todos y decir, ¿cómo pasó esto? ¿Qué podemos hacer? ¿Qué es la solución? ¿Qué es la solución? Nadie quiere saber the solutions, nomás pura problema. Y ese era el problema que tenemos ahorita, es que nadie quiere hablar. Nadie quiere hablar y decir, ok, sabe la problema. I want to talk about the border. Sabemos que la problema. Ya sabemos que la problema. The border's open, wide open. It's been wide open.
We've been invaded. Here in New York,
yeah,
right? It's a different experience. We're not there at the border, right? We're hearing it now because it's getting a little too uncomfortable. We don't know what to do with the migrants that keep arriving. And now is when you're starting to see Mayor Eric Adams, who coincidentally went to visit the border the other day, and he's pushing back a little bit, like, nosotros no tenemos espacio, we don't have the money, mm-hmm. which I find interesting, right? I don't know. Here's some things that I've noticed. Like, all of a sudden, Biden went to see the border, supposedly.
No, he didn't go see the border.
Oh, he didn't go?
No, they cleaned everything up.
I saw that.
Estaban limpiando todo para su visita y no lo llevaron. Movieron a los illegals para otro lado, que entraron por otro lado y nomás lo caminaron en una área. Y esto era nomás optics. Ni de verdad se sentó con muchos de los Border Patrol. No, ni, era todo optics.
So when Biden went to visit, mm-hmm. all the streets that were filled with evidence that there are people sleeping on the streets, those streets were magically cleared out.
Mm-hmm.
So he was being shown something that's sort of like a staging of sorts. Okay. Okay.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yes.
What's going on in the border? Is it as bad as people say it is? God bless you.
Thank you. I didn't want to sneeze on. Okay. So yeah, no, absolutely. So last year, not this last year, but the year before, obviously 2021, when Biden took office, I will tell you that we knew because I have press credentials. So I Trump came to visit the wall before he left. He went to go visit the Border Patrol agents in January of 2021, before everything went, you know, that he was going to leave the White House. And I went to go cover it. And I can tell you that I was there and I saw the Border Patrol agents, the administration, their administrators, their secretaries, you know, all of the people that were coming in to, you know, to see him. I saw grown men shed tears. They knew what was coming the minute he left office. They knew that their whole job was going to be turned upside down. They knew it. No one had ever championed for the Border Patrol agents like Trump did. No one. Not one of the
Trump looked like a racist.
Yes. Yes, exactly. And I'll tell you, I was very supported in the whole border towns. It was supported. Obviously, the Democrats always fought back and made it about you're just being racist and discriminatory. No, then there's a problem. And they knew it. So the interesting thing is not one politician, not one from the state of Texas, not one politician showed up to say, thank you, sir. Thank you for your service. You know, we got it from here. We're Texas. We got it. Not one. So I knew watching them, and I asked some of these Border Patrol agents, you know, what, you know, just I talked to them and they're like, well, we know what's coming. So sure enough, as soon as, you know, Biden was in office, everybody flooded the border. They just started walking over like crazy. And so it was very, very difficult to watch. And, you know, our Latinos for Trump, Latinos for America First, Latinos for Trump, we, since 2019, we had an initiative where we would go and feed our Border Patrol agents. So we'd raise some money and we'd go into their territory. We went all the way from Brownsville all the way to New Mexico to go feed Border Patrol agents and just thank them for their service. Nothing else. It was just literally, we'd say, we're going to bring you all meals. We're going to deliver meals to your stations, just thanking you for your service. That's it. So we had been doing that, you know, for years, honoring them. And so I had, you know, good working relationships with them. And so I knew once that everything took over, sure enough, in February, March, they were like, help, please help. Because no, but they've muzzled them. They told them they couldn't speak. They told them they couldn't go on the news. They couldn't do anything. So they were muzzled. So we started to be advocates for them. We started to voice out what was happening at the border. And I remember in March, I had gone on Steve Bannon, on the Steve Bannon show. And I said, we're being invaded at the Texas border. And they immediately were like, you can't say that. And I'm like, no, I absolutely can. I have the numbers. And I spewed some numbers that were given to me. They said, you don't, where are you getting those numbers? Do you have something to back them up? And I said, absolutely. I have somewhere. I can't tell you where I'm getting them. I'll never reveal my source, but I will tell you that this is the numbers. Well, sure enough, 2 months later. So the Border Patrol agent said, you're not going to see the numbers right now. They're going to hold them back. They're not going to probably publicize them until April. You know, so they were holding the numbers back because they didn't want people to know how bad it was. They saw an astronomical number and a ridiculous amount of people coming through. And so sure enough, once that they verified those numbers, they said, how did you know? And I said, I'm telling you. So people were trying to call it a crisis. I started to call it an invasion from the get-go. And I got, you know, attacked for that, but I said no. And then after that, after they saw the numbers, then they started calling it an invasion. And people started calling it an invasion. And our sheriffs started to call it an invasion. Our sheriffs reached out. There was a group of sheriffs that had reached out and said, we need your help. Ranchers were calling us because they knew that we worked real close with all of this messaging and we were for the border wall. They knew we were for the border wall. We are for legal immigration, not illegal immigration. I don't care what way you look at it. We are for legal immigration, not illegal. And so they knew that and they needed help. And we helped them. We helped them advocate to try to get our governor to shut down the border. We tried to advocate to get this under control. And our governor did nothing. He started some operation, whatever, Lone Star, that's failed miserably. It's failed miserably. All it is overtime for our law enforcement officers who are sick and tired. They're tired. They're overworked. And honestly, no amount of overtime can really justify for what they're having to go through. None. So it was really bad. And now you see, fast forward 2 years later, that the invasion is still there. The crisis, it's not a crisis, it's an invasion. We now can call it a humanitarian crisis. Why? Because nobody wants to talk about the children and the women that are raped to get here. I've heard the accounts of independent journalists who are out there that have interviewed women. And there was one in particular that will always stay in my head. He asked her, you know, what, you came so far away. I mean, you came from wherever, I can't remember, another country, huge caravan that she supposedly came on. She had three small children. And he asked her, what was the most difficult thing that you encountered to get here? And she didn't want to talk first, but then she did. She opened up and she said, the hardest thing for me to get here, not money, not water, not food, not a cell phone, not change of clothes, not a bath, none of that. She said, the hardest thing that I had to witness and encounter to get here was at nighttime when they would stop us to sleep before we kept walking the next day. She said, the hardest thing is that I would take my three children and we'd move away from all the population. I'd move them away and take them a little bit further out. And she said, and I would lay over my three children to sleep. And I was thinking, okay, why is she laying over the children, right, to sleep? And she said, because at night, all I heard is the children crying out from the rape over and over and over and over and over. She said, she had one little girl and two boys, I think. And she said, the prettier the girl, the worse it was for them. If they felt that they could use that little girl, they would immediately remove her from the parents or buy her off or whatever. And she said they would sell her into the sex trafficking ring. They would use that little girl. But she said that's how she could protect her little girl is and her little boys is that she would lay over them every night so that they wouldn't, and she would remove herself from the whole place so that they wouldn't come and bother her. And that was her survival to get here. And I said, that's what nobody talks about. They don't talk about what's happening to the women and children. They don't talk about, Border Patrol, I think agent said they found 18 species of specimen or, of sperm inside a little girl, a 12-year-old girl. It was some ridiculous, that's how many times she had been raped by the time they got her to the United States. And so nobody talks about these things. Nobody talks about the amount of fentanyl now. You see the amount of fentanyl that's raised. I mean, it's an enormous amount of deaths now that have gone up, fentanyl deaths across the country and mainly in our youth. So not only are they dying suddenly, they're now being, they don't know what they're taking and they're being sold fentanyl and they're dying. So there is a huge, yes, humanitarian crisis now. And it's not because of illegals, but it's because of what comes with the open border. I don't know if you all saw this, but there was a footage. Jason Jones covers the border. He's on Newsmax all the time. He's one to follow on your social media. He is on the ground all the time and embedded with law enforcement. And they had a drone out somewhere and they were showing, the cartels. Because if you go to follow the National Border Patrol Association on Twitter, they tweeted, I believe last week, they tweeted that they have no control of the border anymore. The border is completely controlled by the cartel. So literally they were flying a drone and the cartel started shooting at our drone. And it was only within a mile from us to the border. And so that's how close they are. And they really control the border. And so we're very, very dangerous. It's very, very dangerous because what they've done now is, and what nobody talks about is they're putting our law enforcement agents and our Border Patrol agents in danger. Because what you've done is the cartel is going to do whatever they want to do and they have no morals and values. They don't care. They will kill you on the spot. They have no remorse at all. And so what they do is you put our Border Patrol agents and our law enforcement out there and you pretty much handicap them from doing their job. They can't do their job. So what you do is now these cartel who are very sophisticated and think about our technology, they have the same stuff. So they're able to, they will take photos. They identify who the Border Patrol agents are. They go and identify, they track them down. They find out where they live. They find out where their children go to school. They find out where their family is. They find their extended family. They do reports on all these guys. So guess what? If they come over and do something and you dare even try to attempt to do your job on this side of in our nation, then you've just put them at risk because now the cartel says, you will do as I say, or I know where your kids go to school. And they put our Border Patrol agents in danger. And what nobody else talks about is the level of suicides in our Border Patrol agents. In the last 2 years, we have had multiple amounts of suicides in the Border Patrol. They keep it quiet. They obviously the news is not going to talk about it. And so it's very interesting.
We're not getting any of it. We just get the Democratic talking points through the media as this is how we started to see collusion, right?
Yeah.
As you're saying this to me, look, yo me cabrono because I'm thinking about the squad. I'm thinking about AOC going to the border and crying. I'm thinking about all this show about the kids in cages. And then I'm thinking about Jennifer Lopez and Shakira in the Super Bowl halftime show part of their message was, you know, raising awareness for these kids in cages. I'm like, okay, so you care about the children? Really? Really? Because what you're saying to me, I'm just assuming this is much worse than when Trump, like, was president. Yet they made Trump out to be a racist. All we kept hearing was that he was discriminatory against Latinos. You kept hearing bad hombres.
Mm-hmm.
And it almost became taboo to speak about, to have a different opinion about what's happening at the border. And these are the ways that some of us have been awakened, right? There's this Latino awakening happening where a lot of us are leaving the Democratic plantation. And to your point, it's not we're running to the Republicans, right? We're sort of in this weird space.
Mm-hmm.
Can you talk about a little bit of that? What are your insights?
Well, you know, I saw Candace Owens not too long ago. And I told her and I said, you know what, Candace, I envy you with one thing. I envy that you started this Blexit movement and you never told the Blacks or Latinos, you've never said it, that you were exiting the Democrat Party to go to the Republican Party. You basically, your message has been to be free thinkers. And I said, you know, when we started Latinos for Trump, we were just pushing the conservative narrative. Because if you think about it, most Latino households are conservative anyway. We are conservative. We love the Lord. You know, we love God. You're going to find some kind of any angels, crucifix, Virgin Mary's, Bibles, you know, across over the door. I mean, you're going to find some faith, something in a household. You're just going to find it. We're faith-driven people. You know, we're family-oriented. We don't believe in killing our babies. Okay. I mean, there's probably some that do believe in it, but for the most part, our culture doesn't believe in killing the babies. I mean, I grew up with an abuelita that would say, si te metes en problema, vas a ser una mujer. No vas, ya no vas a ser niña, vas a ser mujer. Y vas a tener responsabilidad. But, you know, you were told, you're not going to murder your baby. So think about what you're doing. You have consequences. Así nos decía mi mamá, mi abuela, todos. So I know the type of culture we come from, family, being family oriented. You know, and of course, a lot of our ancestors fled socialism and communism at some point in time. So we don't like government overreach. We like our freedoms and our liberties. We don't like the government to tell us everything that what we should do and what to wear and not to wear and you know, how to eat and what not to eat and how much we can eat and how much not we can't eat and what job we should have, what study we should. I mean, we don't do that. This is this is America. So for the most part, you know, we are faith, family, and for freedoms. That is simple, as simple as that. And we are entrepreneurs. Look, you said y'all work out of, you know, you're entrepreneurs. You have your own business. A lot of Latinos have their own business. You know, whether it's selling tamales, maid services. But let me tell you something. One of the most well-known architect that designed the New York skyline, I don't even know if you know this, was Latino. He was Cuban.
Wow. I did not know that.
Yes. There is a museum in Miami that honored this man for about, I don't know, a whole semester, I guess, but I went, the Cubans took me. They said, you really need to see this display and everything. Cause this man died. And they, every single skyline, all of the New York skyline, he designed it and he built those buildings. He built the Trump Tower as well. I don't know if it was a Trump Tower or the Trump Hotel, but whichever it was, he was known to build an architect, not just the New York skyline. He was known around the world for building these buildings. So no matter if you are the Latino that's selling tamales or the guy who actually built the New York skyline, which was a Latino and a Cuban American. When you look at that, we are entrepreneurs. We are successful no matter where you put us. We will overcome. So we are capitalist people. We love commerce, you know? And so if you think about it, we're very conservative. These are basic principles for us, basic. So if you look at, you know, where the parties stand and the agendas that they're pushing, then we obviously vote, you know, towards the Republicans because they hold our principles, right? And so the thing is that that party's broken itself. It's very corrupt as well, and it's very broken. And there's good people in it, but there's also some bad people in it who think that they're privileged and they have the power and the money, and that's, you're not going to do anything to them because they have power and money. And so, and I'm sure it's the same way on the Democrat side, you know. However, it is a broken system. And I think that, you know, as a Latino community, this is another thing that, and I don't know so much about the Democrat, but I know the Republican Party, they just think they can throw a blanket over the Latinos and we're all exactly the same. We're not. Cubans are different from Venezuelans. Colombians are different than Tejanos. Mexican Americans are different than, you know, Puerto Ricanos. I mean, our values are still kind of the same, but we're not all the same. So you can't just blanket the Latino community. So what we have to do is we're going to have to be better about our messaging. We're going to have to be better about uniting, you know, uniting and finding common ground, because not all the Latinos are going to believe in every little thing. But if we find that common ground and move, that's why I always say Latinos for America first, somos el movimiento de la gente. We got to move our people to really turn out and vote. It's why we're not taken serious, because we have a majority in the United States. If our Latinos literally sat there and said, you know, estamos enfadados, basta con todo esto, basta. Estamos enfadados de todo esto, and we are going to now register to vote, and vamos a votar, and we're going to vote. Listen, if you are on the Democrat side, like in California, you know, they have some Democrats that are conservatives. Some of the Latinos have voted them in. They don't run in the Republican Party, but they said, there's conservatives we're going to get for the left-wing Democrat, you know. So I get that. What applies to California doesn't apply to Texas, and what applies to Texas may not apply to New York. We're going to have to move silo, you know, with each other and move our people and make sure that we're registering voters and that we keep their information and that we remind them to vote and that they're going to pledge to vote in our direction with whoever we tell them to vote for. We are the ones that can totally change the dynamics of everything in this country. If we just learn to come together somehow and move our people to a common ground to finally make an impact in this United States and reclaim everything for our family, or for God, for family, and for our freedoms. And we're going to have to do that. We're going to have to find good, viable candidates that are going to truly represent us in our communities. So see, that's what the Democrats are very good at. They will go find someone and they market them and they make them all look pretty, and they will champion the Black and the Asian and the Hispanics, and they say they're the party of the minorities. But and the working, they try to make themselves a party of the working class, but they're not. They're not, because they don't represent our principles and our values. And so you're right. We're kind of, it's like, okay, we know we don't belong to the Democrat Party. We vote for the Republican Party, but even as a whole Republican Party, they don't truly represent exactly who we are as a la gente, right? They just don't. They don't comprehend us. They don't understand us. So we have to do better within our own communities. Y nosotros somos bien vivos para comer nosotros, ¿verdad? Uno trata de levantarse y el otro ya viene y lo baja para abajo. We have to get over that. We have to get over that whole, you know, bucket, the
crabs in the bucket mentality.
We have to get your, in order for us to truly impact, we're going to have to get over that. Respect each other and say, you go do this, you go do this, you go do this. But in the end, we meet together and we coalition together and we move and we come out and vote in big numbers. Tenemos que hacer. And see, our Latinos, they're like, nah, yo no me meto en la política porque pues, no, está sucio, no importa, no, nada para mí, whatever. Well, yeah, technically, you know, it is technically, if you think about it, you know, they aren't doing anything for us. But I tell them, you know why they're not doing anything for us? Because you're not voting. Because you're not voting for people that are trying to represent us, and therefore we don't have true representation. We don't have true representation anywhere. We don't have it just because of your skin color in the Democrat Party doesn't mean you represent us, because you're not representing our principles and our values. You don't represent us in the Republican Party because you hardly have any minorities in the Republican Party. So, you know, that there's the thing.
Well, that's an interesting point. That's an interesting point. When there is a Latino sometimes in the Republican Party that may be able to work on the behalf of all Latinos, Democrats seem to vote unanimously against that Latino, right? Which is actually one of the gripes that I just shared. I haven't posted it yet, but my sister and I recorded a little message from a Reverend Ruben Diaz Sr. from New York. He is a former senator, a former council member. He's been serving his community in the Bronx for over 30 years. And he's one of the people that came out and supported Zeldin. Now, these are lifelong Democrats saying the Democrats are not supporting Latinos. There's been times where I, as a Democrat, broke with the Dems to vote for something on the Republican because it benefited our communities, but we don't see that happening on the other side. And look, I get it. I get the power of an entity moving together no matter what, right? Because obviously the Democrat machine is very powerful, but it's disheartening. And I don't like to make it about identity politics when we keep seeing there's no support. It's like, oh, I don't care. It's almost like, wait, there's Latinos on the Republican parties. We don't even see and acknowledge their humanity. That's what it feels like to me. I don't see their humanity. I don't even see their color. Not that it even matters, but in the grand scheme of things, but it's almost like they're white supremacists, or they're like for Trump, or they're lo que sea, you know, they're against la gente.
Yes.
Because that's the way they look at it. That's the way we've been conditioned here in New York to look at Republicans or anyone who is of Latino, Black minority, quote unquote, that is a part of the conservative Republican. Oh, no, ustedes son así. Or term that una muchacha, she told me earlier today that they called her a coconut, brown on the outside and white on the inside. That's horrible.
Porque tenemos valores de América, nos dicen coconut. I mean, you know, it is horrible, but it's a mental thing. It's a conditioning. Los Demócratas have been working on this for a very long time. There was a time the Democrats were the working class and were for the people, truly the people. But somewhere in there, they lost their principles and values, and they went completely, totally to an end where, you know, we ourselves, we can't align ourselves with that. We don't believe in our, you know, kids at the age of 5 or 10 or 12 to tell us that they want a sex change and that they want to go my little girl going to the boys' restroom and a boy going to the girls' restroom. We don't raise our kids like that. That's nonsense. But that's the agenda they're pushing. They're so out of touch with our values and principles now. And that's it's a dangerous thing. And so, yeah, we are at a pivotal point, but this is the time that Latinos do need to raise up. We need a like a Cesar Chavez movement. You know, we need a movement like that just says enough's enough, and we're going to stand up for people, for humanity, and for principles. And I don't care where you are, but you know what aisle, but you're going to either represent us or we're going to vote you out, period, on the primaries. And that's what we need to do. We need to become, you know, more of a powerful, you know, unit and cohesively move towards sending those messages and showing up. We need to start showing up. Latinos need to start showing up to the board meetings. They need to start showing up to city council. They need to start showing up to the school boards. They need to start showing up to commissioner's court. They need to start showing up to their, you know, state level committees when they're talking about these bills. Latinos need to be there. They need to, conservative Latinos need to be there. Not Republican, Democrat. If you're a conservative and you don't believe that your government should tell you that it's okay, that what is it now, these laws that they've been putting out there that say that if a child goes to their teacher and says that they want a sex change or if they want to have an abortion, they don't have to notify the parent. That's the teacher can take them. The teacher can take them to go get an abortion. They don't have to notify the parent. Well, I'm sorry, but I'm sorry. I gave birth to my children and ain't no school and no principal and no teacher going to tell my child what to do. So, you know, that to me is Latinos need to be, they need to show up. They need to show up at these, you know, they need to start educating themselves and paying attention to the laws that they're talking about. Somebody is like, you need to find somebody who's good at it and appoint them. Hey, you be here in New York. You're going to be in charge of, you know, looking at all the school boards, commissioner's court. You tell us what they're going to talk about. And if there's something that we need to be there, we need to mobilize and organize and get there and speak either for it or against it. You need to train our people to do that. And pues es que trabajamos. Okay, you can't take a day off of work, porque you can take off a day of work, but you have a pelea y tomar y football game y todo esto. If you cannot take a day off to go and make sure that you're holding your, you know, elected officials accountable and that you're not going to stand for this, you know, for them to have a right, all the rights of what your child does in the school, then you shouldn't be a parent. You need to be involved because that's how todo el gobierno está tan metido en nuestras vidas que nos están quitando la libertad. That's where we're at. So we need to do better as a community, as Hispanics. We need to be in tune of what's on the agendas and go and speak out when we feel the need to speak out. You know, it could be a water issue, for crying out loud. You know, could, I mean, I've heard people, tenemos la agua sale bien fea aquí, blah, 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 whatever. Well, go and talk about it. But, you know, you have a city council, go and hold these people accountable and say, why do I have dirty water? I mean, whatever it is, your kids have to drink that. So, you know, it's common sense, but we have to make time for it. We have to make time for the civic engagement.
Right. Okay. And some people are not taught that, or in our communities, we humbly have placed a lot of the power and respect and just authority on our leadership, our political leadership, and also our religious leadership. Ellos tienen que saber más que nosotros. And I understand being humble. I think that that's important to be humble. But when not to the point that you're disappearing and your humanity, you know. And I believe, right, I'm an optimist. I really believe that when our gente start to understand lo que está pasando, what we've been kind of in all of our ways been trying to communicate, that they will activate. You know, yeah. We are battling this mainstream media machine that mm-hmm. has made it very difficult for us to penetrate, right?
Yes.
And pero to get our message out. Somos la mayoría.
Sí.
En you know Estados Unidos.
Sabes lo que no, sabes lo que sí, somos la mayoría. Sabes lo que necesitamos hacer, ir puerta a puerta. Ya no podemos depender en la media, no podemos depender en social media. You know, that's got limited outreach. There's 333 million people in America. And if we're only getting a reach of 200, 1,000, even a million, if you get a million, there's 332 million people still, you don't even know what you're saying. So, tenemos que estar para atrás, ir a la puerta, como los Pentecostals, ¿verdad? Or los Mormons that go knock on door to door. We almost have to get to that point. Like old school. Con un little papelito, una flyer, ven suena la puerta y decir, ¿sabes lo que está pasando? Ten. You know, and just mobilize in your own neighborhood, in the own, donde vives, in your own apartment complex, lo que sea. Just in your area. And then you say, oh, ¿dónde tú vives? Okay, antes suena la puerta ahí donde tú vives. Okay, ¿dónde tú vives? Antes suena la puerta donde tú vives. And make just something that's not expensive, make it and go and make it a point and start the door-to-door communication with these people. And it's the only way. We have to go back to old school because they can't stop us door to door.
Right. Because even, you know, that was one of my awakenings with social media is just because I'm communicating doesn't mean that they're receiving the message.
Yeah.
Right. You know, just because you post it and people, it took them a while to figure it out. It was like, wait a minute, I got 3,000 people. They didn't all see my message. No, mamita, the algorithm doesn't work like that.
Yes.
Bianca, I've kept you longer than my original allotted
Yes.
agreed time with you. Pero I
Nada.
really do hope that we can have you more often on Cafecito Break because your message is important and what you are doing for our communities. I just want to keep having that dialogue with you. Any messages that you'd like to leave us with as we wind down, and please include where people can connect with you.
Absolutely. Pues, thank you so much again, to you Better Sisters for everything that you guys are doing, because you're really standing in the gap. And it takes bravery and courage. This is not a very easy job. This awakening, educating our people, speaking out, it takes courage and boldness. So I want to commend you and your sister for doing that, because I was there. I know what it feels like when you feel like you're up against the wall and you feel like you're not, you're trying to make a difference and you don't feel like you're getting anywhere. Believe me, the fact that we had a 10% increase of Latinos vote conservative this last election, that's never been done. We have been working, groups like mine and others out there that have been working on the ground doing the work. We have impacted and made a difference, and they know it. We just have to do it even more. So I want to encourage you to keep doing what you're doing. I want to let people know you can always follow me on any social media platform at Bianca for Texas. You can also go to latinosforamericafirst.com. Make sure that you sign up with us, that you participate, that you get on our new email, our newsletter list. And we're going to start sending out more newsletters, and we're going to start growing. We have to start growing in numbers, so that we can start to communicate with each other outside of, the things that we've been depending on right now. And we have to really come together as a community. But I thank you. And I just say, God bless y'all for what y'all are doing. And thank you so much for having me on your show. Because I think it's important that we keep getting each other's messages out. And so anyway, listen, you all adopted me. I've adopted y'all. We're going to all be part of this together. We're going to work together. We're going to grow, and we're going to look back. Maybe 2 to 5 years later, we're going to look back and say, lo hicimos. We did it. We're going to do
That
it.
I can't wait.
We're going to do
I
it.
can't wait.
We're going to do it.
Bianca, thank you for the
Lasamo?
opportunity
De nada.
to chat with you again
Sí.
and the important information that you brought to us today. Que tenga a beautiful day. God bless you. Y te aprecio mucho. We appreciate you. And muchas bendiciones, Reina.
De nada. Gracias.
Thank you. This has been Rosangel Perez with Bianca Gracia, Bianca for Texas. Follow her on all social media. Thank you, mi gente.